In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today, proclaiming the Word of God. 2 Samuel 11. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth into battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all of Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. He stayed at home. And it came to pass in the evening that David arose from his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, his house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look at. And I'm going to tell you, all sin begins in the mind. All sin begins in the mind. And then from the mind to the action. What David should have done was to say, you know what, Lord, this is not mine. I'm going to go back into the house. But that's not what sin does. Sin says, you know what, you can have this woman. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanliness, and she returned to her house. It all started with the mind. It all started with the lust of the eyes, yes, the lust of the eyes and the mind, which brought Uriah's wife into David's bed. And the woman conceived and sent and told David that I am with child. And David sent to Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. This again, another temptation. Oh, he's going to fix it, you know. Watch out for all the people that think that they can fix you. He's going to fix it. And when Uriah had come unto David, demanded of him now, Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house and followed him a mess of meat from the king. And Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his own house. Why? Because he's a man of war, and the other people are fighting, and he's not going to have pleasure in his house. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down unto his house, David said unto Uriah, come thou not from thy journey? Why then did you not go down to your own house? And Uriah said to David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and his servants of my lord are encamped in open fields. Shall I then go to my house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As you live and as thy soul lives, I will not do this thing. In other words, he had real scruples about going to his house. And these scruples were good. You know, they're fighting a war, and who am I? I'm a soldier. Who am I to go home and to lie with my wife and to eat good food? Who am I? So he slept outside the king's door. And David said to Uriah, tarry here today, also tomorrow, and I will let you depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the next. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And even at even he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his lord, but did not go down to his house. Even drunk, he had the right way of thinking. He's not going to back to his house. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. Imagine, this letter is going to say, put Uriah in the front lines, let him die. Do you see, it all started with Bathsheba. It all started with the lust of the eye. It all started with the thoughts that he had. And now it's his way is to kill Uriah, because Uriah will not lie down with his wife. See, if Uriah lay down with his wife, they could say it was Uriah's baby. But it's not Uriah's baby. And he wrote in this letter saying, set you, Uriah, in the front line of the hottest battle, and retire you from him, that he may be smitten and die. Sick. This is sick. This is completely sick. It's like a little kid, you know, I didn't get what I wanted, so I'm going to have Uriah the Hittite killed. This is the king. This is David. This is the one that God promised that from his loins the Messiah would come. This is the king doing such a thing. Oh, that's what happens when we lust with the eye and we start thinking about it. You must know that that will lead you into sin. I tell you again, we don't have roofs to walk on to see Bathsheba, but we have the internet to look at things that we shouldn't be looking at. The lust of the eye, yes, and the thoughts of the mind, bad, very bad. No, the internet is for your good, not for your evil. Do not look at things you should not look, lest you become sick and tired and sick about these things, and you start acting like an animal rather than like a person. And it came to pass when Joab observed the city, as he was assigned Uriah unto his place, where he knew that the valiant men were, the valiant men that died for the king. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Here we have the sin of David killing Uriah the Hittite. And let me continue, verse 21. Who smote Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal? Did not a woman cast a piece of a millstone upon him from the wall, that he died in Thebez? Why did he go near the wall? Why do you say that the servant of Uriah the Hittite is dead also? So the messenger went and came and showed David all that Joab had sent him. The messenger said unto David, surely the men prevailed against us and came out onto our field, and we were upon them even to entering of the gate, and the shooters shot off the wall upon the servants, and some of the king's servants be dead, and your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. So I tell you, it's all about the lust of the eye. It's all about the mind and what it thinks, which leads to the action. It's time for us to wash our minds with the blood of Jesus. Oh yes, it's easy to start doing things because nobody sees you but God. Nobody sees you but God. I'm telling you, the new sin now is the internet. It's the internet. The most used part of the internet has to do with sex. The second most used part of the internet has to do with religion. Chapter 12. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. Now Nathan is the prophet. And he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in the city, one rich and the other poor. Nathan is going to tell David a story. Because you know what? If he condemns David right out, David can kill him. So he came up with a story. The rich men had exceedingly many flocks and many herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb that he had bought and nourished up, and it grew together with him and his children. It did eat of its own meat, and it was drink of his own cup, and he lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. So this little ewe lamb was a pet. He was a pet. And that's all the man had was the pet. The other man had flocks of sheep. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man. Again, the rule of hospitality in the desert, that this traveler came and you've got to feed him. That was come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that had come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." And Nathan said unto David, "You are the man." Oh my. Oh my, you are the man. Oh yes. Bathsheba belonged to Uriah. You had wives. You didn't need to take her. And once you took her, you got Uriah killed. You're the man. You're the man. Nathan said to David, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you out of the hand of Saul, and I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your bosom, and I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had not been too little, I would moreover have given you such and such things." In other words, God had given David so much, and he had so much. Why did he have to go after Bathsheba, and why did he have to go and kill Uriah? You have had much, 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 but your lust worked for your bad. "Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and you have taken his wife to be your wife, and you have slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me, and you have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will rise up evil against you out of your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them unto your neighbor, and he shall lie with the wives in the sight of the sun. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before Israel and before the sun." In other words, it's going to be not secret, but it's out in the open. "And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away your sin, and you shall not die." I'm telling you, one good aspect of David is that he admits his sin. He doesn't say, "Well, you know what, I was tempted." He doesn't say anything other than, "I have sinned against the Lord." We have Psalm 51, "Have mercy on me, Lord, for I have sinned. Have mercy, for I have sinned. Wash out my sin." We need the blood of Jesus to wash away our sin. We go to confession, and we need the blood of Jesus to wash away our sin. "Howbeit, because of this deed, you have taken great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme the child also that is born unto thee. He shall surely die." So Nathan tells that the child conceived by Bathsheba will die. "And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. And David therefore besought God for the child, And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. He's doing penance. And the elders of the house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth. But he would not neither eat nor drink or eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spoke unto him, and he would not hearken to our voice. Will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw his servants whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth, and washed and anointed himself, and changed his clothes, and came into the house of the Lord, and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, when he required that they set bread before him, and he did eat. And said his servants unto him, what thing is this that you have done? What fast that you did kept while the child was alive? But when the child was dead, you did rise and eat bread. And David said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and I wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me, that the child may live? But now the child is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, and he shall not return to me. It's interesting. David himself fasted and prayed and wept that the child would live. And he would not eat. He fasted. And what happens? The child dies, and he grooms himself, and he eats. He says, because I can't bring him back. I can't bring him back. I'm telling you, when God takes someone, we need to make sure that God has that someone. We cannot hold on to that someone because they're with God if they were Christians. They're with God. We can grieve. We can cry. We can do what we need to do, but we're not getting them back. And you know what? If they died in Christ, they would never want to come back. Oh, no. Why would they want to come back? They're having a good day today. No night, no sickness, no death, no fear. None of that stuff is part of what God has for us in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, yes. God wants what's happening in heaven to come down to the earth. And what's that? His glory. That the glory of God would come upon the earth. Because when the glory comes, oh, it's so easy to do the things of God. There is no revival without repentance and without the glory of God when the glory of God falls upon the people. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went into her and lay with her, and she bore a son, and he called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him, and he sent by land to Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. And Joab fought against Rabbah of the children of Ammon and took the royal city. So David has another child with Bathsheba. His name is Solomon. It will be Solomon that will build the temple. It will be Solomon because not David, because David is a man of blood. It will be Solomon that will do this. I'm telling you, it is very difficult to live in the world that we live without falling into temptation. On billboards, in the television, on radio, people say things that are terrible things. You know, when I hear these commercials for birth control, what if an 11-year-old child is looking at that commercial? He knows nothing about birth control. This is very sick. It is a very difficult thing to live in the earth today without being tempted. Oh, yes. Then we have people with perfume And I know all this perfume leads to lust, as you see it on the television. It's lust. It's all about lust. And it's about making people plug into lust. We need to keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ and not on what the world shows us. The world says today, we have a modern family. There's no modern family. It's only father, wife, and children. Yes. No modern family. The world tells us that you can have two mothers and not any fathers, or you can have two fathers and not any mothers. That's not what the church teaches. That's not what the Bible teaches. Every child deserves a mother and a father. It's different, God forbid, if the father dies. Then the mother has to be both mother and father to the child, best way she could. But the world teaches us differently. The world teaches us differently. Even Planned Parenthood, you know, is okay for some of the people that are running for president. It's not okay. Planned Parenthood is the biggest destroyer of babies in the world. Planned Parenthood is evil. It is evil. What we need to do is to continue to pray outside the Planned Parenthood mill and to pray that children's lives would be spared. And I'm going to tell you about 40 Days for Life. It started on Ash Wednesday. The kickoff was February 10th at 3 o'clock. Then English Vigils Friday at 7 p.m. That's tonight. Friday at 7 p.m. at 1055 Commonwealth Avenue. Spanish Vigils Saturdays at 6 o'clock. Saturdays at 6 o'clock every Saturday during Lent. The Tuesday Rosary at 2 p.m. Every Tuesday during Lent at 2 p.m. is the rosary. Concluding prayer service will be on March 20th at 3 p.m. This is something that people should be going to. Why? Because they are killing children. Killing children. And we know that in the past they used their body parts and sold their body parts. This is sick. This is sick. A dog doesn't kill its pups. A cat doesn't kill its kittens. But we kill our children. How sick is this? How sick is this? This is sickness times sickness. Again, a cat doesn't kill its chicken, a kittens, and a dog doesn't kill its pups. But we kill our children. We kill them on the experience of convenience. I'm not ready to have a child. Well, you should have known that when you were in bed with him. That's when you should have known that. But everybody's doing it. Yeah, well, everybody's doing it, and the world is crazy. The world is nuts. Is there salvation after abortion? Of course, God is a forgiver. God is a forgiver. He forgives our sins, and he forgives them rapidly when we go to confession and we confess our sins. He is faithful to forgive our sins, for the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. We have 10 seconds. We're going to praise the Lord together. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father, for giving us Jesus. Thank you, Father, for life. Thank you, Father, for children in the womb. Let it be protected. Thank you, Father, that you love your people. Thank you, Father, that you so loved us that you gave us Jesus. Thank you, Father, that there's always a way out of sin, and that's by going to confession and having the blood of Jesus wash us clean. Thank you, God, for Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us so much that you reveal yourself to us. Thank you, wonderful Jesus, that you said, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Well, we ask you today, wonderful Lamb of God, for the Holy Spirit, that he would come upon us in all of our ways, so that we would be directed by Jesus Christ in the power of the Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming to us. We thank you, Jesus Christ, for being Lord. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.